In 3, 2.
Hi, it's Ray from Lolita Dark. You are listening to Comic Pop Library.
If you give a cowboy a horse and a stretch of fence, you can bet the farm he'll ride all day till the whole damn thing is fixed. And he'll come dragging back around long about supper time. If you give a cowboy a truck on a Friday night, he'll pull $100 bill from the coffee can, spray the mud off of them tires, drop $20 in the tank, save the rest for beer. So all you girls in here need to know this: if you give a cowboy a kiss, he'll want more. He's gonna wanna give you a twist out on that hardwood floor. If you let him, girl, if you let him, he's gonna sit you down on his tailgate, pull out his George Strait. Pretty baby, that's just the way it is if you give a cowboy a kiss. If you tell a cowboy he can't, he'll prove he can.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Luis,
Logan.
And in today's episode, we are looking at Cody Johnson and his album, A Cowboy Like Me, from the Red Dirt area. So, April, let's give him a spin.
Right. So, what you just listened to was Give a Cowboy a Kiss off of Cody Johnson, the Cody Johnson Band's album, Cowboy Like Me. And with this podcast, we are definitely staying true to Rockin' in the Dirt. This is a Red Dirt group. It's made up of Cody Johnson is the singer, on bass is Carl Johnson, and then you've got Nathan Reedy, who plays the drums. He's their drummer. And they started out fairly young, maybe not this band specifically, but Cody has. Cody is from Eastern Texas. He is from this, the town is called, as best I can say, Sebastopol.
Okay. Can I see that just to see how that's spelled?
It's spelled S-E-B-A-S-T-O-P-O-L.
Sebastopol,
probably, yeah.
Sebastopol is what Sebastopol. I would assume. And it's a smaller town in eastern Texas. And he was homeschooled up until his freshman year of high school. And and he was already into the guitar and everything. But freshman year in high school is when he started going in with the bands and everything. And his first band, his high school band, I guess, were runner-ups for the Texas State FFA Talent Contest.
Wow.
And for those of you who don't know what FFA is, it stands for Future Farmers of America. And it's a big thing, at least in our area, because we are the farmers.
We are ag.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And it's cool because his first band was also formed with other FFA members. So I think it's kind of cool just thinking.
It's a wonder they didn't call him the Kickers.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be a good name. But yeah, and since then, he is just, it's kind of just snowballed from there. And he's performed with audiences of 30 up to 30,000, you know. And
wow, that's pretty good.
Right, and how we know of Cody Johnson is that he did open up for Thompson Square at our Dodge City days.
Was that the
Aaron Watson?
Yeah, that's what Jonathan said, was saying.
And
yeah,
he was there.
Oh, he opened up for two people then.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
he opened up for he Aaron did, Watson.
Yeah, that was my second one. Also at Dodge City,
still he opened in your thunder up for, there. I apologize.
He opened up for Aaron Watson, so he opened up for two of them. He also has sort of interesting. Also, he has done ag, of course, and he's done 3 years of bull riding. So he's done the rodeo circuit.
Is that why he has such a higher voice? Maybe.
Maybe. And when he graduated, he had a time where it wasn't so much music, but he worked for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice in Huntsville. Yeah. So he does kind of have a
police
all over the
different
place
background. Wow. You know, it's very random.
So if somebody acts up in the concert, he'll go down there and arrest you.
But he wants to be a sheriff.
So. Yeah. But this group, their first CD was Black and White Label. So if you want to pick that up, that's the name of it. And Cody Johnson himself won the Texas Regional Music Awards in 2011 as the new male vocalist of the year. So they have, and right now he's currently gone up to Nashville level. So he's kind of getting used to the Nashville scene and everything.
So he's trying to make his way into mainstream.
Right. Like. And he, on October 31st, 2011, he released A Different Day, which was produced by Trent Wilmon in Nashville.
I want to say I didn't know that, but I'm not
Trent
sure.
Trent Wilmon.
I might be thinking of a different Trent.
Yeah. But on here, he's compared to a Garth Brooks energy level and a Chris Ledoux musical beginnings and a Ronnie Van Zant individual style. What do you guys think? Who do you compare him to? That's who.
See, I don't
know. I have no clue at all, but from the faces Dad's making.
Well, see, I don't listen to that much country. The only time I listen to it would be like on the radio. So, see, I don't know names per se. Country for me is new because I'm from the city, so we don't listen to much country.
Darn but, city folk.
But since I moved to Kansas, you know, country's all right. You know, like I said, it's not
you
as
can't
bad
escape
as,
it, can you?
No, you really can't. And like, it's not bad. It's not, you know, for me, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just in the middle, which is all right. You know.
It's but good for me, but
I can't really tell you who he sounds like because I don't know the country names. But he's talented. He's really good.
Yeah,
so.
Country in general is a very specific taste to region because, you know, in Kansas alone, one state, Western Sparta, Kansas, is more country. I believe is more country than Eastern because here, major country fans, we're all about it. Well. My friends towards the east and northern parts of Kansas don't like country at all. Hmm. And when I go to see them, you know, obviously different radio stations. So I got in the car and I was like, first thing I asked was, what's your country station? Cause I was, and they were like, I have no idea. I don't listen to it at all. So I,
but you did get the jam to classic.
I did.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Red Dirt is but really the subgenre of country for sure. Mm-hmm. Garth Brooks' level of entertainment.
Energy.
Yes.
Energy. I could see that. Right now, he's so small, though, but when we saw him on stage, he did have a lot of energy.
I liked him a lot. He was moving.
Yeah, he was moving around. And if he had probably Garth Brooks' budget, he would probably do the same thing.
Right.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That reference didn't have any effect on me. That's agreeable. Chris Ledoux. I can see some.
Have you noticed Chris Ledoux's coming up a lot lately?
Well, when you're dealing with Red Dirt, you're going to.
Well, it's just mainly, in general.
he was one of the few rodeo circuit performers that made it into mainstream.
Yeah.
Not big into mainstream, but
made
it into
there.
And Red Dirt, to a degree, almost all your Red Dirt bands are going to emulate him
He's like the Red Dirt God.
Right.
There you go.
And he'll throw clods down at you. No.
No lightning bolts for you.
Scuffing his boots.
No lightning bolts for you, Ledoux.
True. There you go. And we'll talk about this song a little later. And he mentions the performer in this song we just heard as the opening is George Strait.
Yeah.
I could hear a lot of George Strait influence in his singing, more than Chris Ledoux. I can hear a little bit of Chris, but I hear more George, seems like, to me. The other person you mentioned, I'm not sure who that even is. I'm clueless on that one.
I'm not sure either. I just read the name.
The only one I recognized was Garth Brooks, and that's barely at all as is.
Yeah. Well, I tell you this funny story about... about George Strait. One of my friend's grandmas here in town is obsessed with George Strait, and she told us she has like no shame about what she says. She was telling us she was our substitute one day, and she told us that she's got this like life-size cutout of George Strait And like she used to stand it up around in her house, like when she went, like a few years back, she would stand it up like everywhere, and she'd like move it around.
Hey, Joshua, how you doing today? Then, did she throw her bra at it too?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I love you. But yeah, it was so funny. And she's like, "Oh, our poor Georgie got put up this last year because he's just so worn down, and you know, he's just wear and tear over the years." But it's so funny how she talks about the cutout like it's George. it just cracked me up. It's funny.
Yeah,
Mr. George, and he's one of the godfathers of country right now.
Oh yeah,
he's,
yeah.
What, in his 60s now, I believe.
I don't know.
I think he is, because he was out in the 80s when I was in high school, sophomore, junior, senior. So yeah, he's been around for a good long time. And I know he stopped touring last year or this year. Was his final tour. And I think he still said he might put out some albums, but touring is pretty much done. But with Cody Johnson, yeah, that's who I see more than anything as a big influence, and which is not bad at all. It's
Cody Johnson, of course, influences Cody Johnson.
No,
with George Strait being
George Strait
influence.
Being
there
influence.
You go.
And the first song, that's my favorite of the album.
Dance Her Home?
No, the first, not the one. Sorry, just my bad.
The intro.
I'm not talking good tonight.
Well, that's the first one.
I know. The intro is what I meant
Give
to say.
Give a Cowboy, because that's favorite.
My favorite song.
And we actually heard that song first at the live concert. Yeah. And it just got that kick in it that just... Yep.
When
move,
you hit the chorus.
You know, and I just, and even on the slower parts in the verses, it still drives it, and the rhythm is good enough. It's just like leads in.
True.
I don't know. I just think wordplay. I've said it multiple times. Wordplay is awesome to me. And
so you must like the Bottled Up one too.
I do. I love Bottle It Up, which starts off first about him and his buddies finding this moonshine, and they're like, we should bottle it up, take it to town.
And that's the last mention of alcohol in that song.
And then in the next verse, it talks about the same concept and idea in words of bottle it up, but actually with love. And it's about, you know, this feeling I'm getting with this girl that I just love. I just want to bottle up and
sell it.
It can sell so good because it's just such a good feeling. And that's really cool.
Shall we put a drop in here to let everybody see what we're talking about? So we're
going to
put
it in. You
might
have to cut. I don't know. I don't know how.
How far into it?
Yeah. Second verse to get to
I don't
anything.
Know how far in it goes to get into like the love aspect.
First we'll verse see. Is the beer. After that, there's no beer.
We'll see.
If I remember
we'll see. If it doesn't
anyways.
Get into the love part, they can at least with the second verse kind of see the difference. But well, the first part is definitely the moonshining.
Yeah.
You're saying beer, but I relate it to
moonshining.
Well, moonshining.
Yeah,
moonshine is more like alcohol.
And I call alcohol in general beer.
Yeah.
And the,
no clue why.
No, I know. I know.
Alcohol is not necessarily beer, but beer is alcohol's label for no reason
that's
at
right.
all.
I'm not saying, I know the difference between tequila and beer, but if I'm talking about alcohol in general, I'm going to say beer.
Okay. But anyway, with going back within the song, one of the ones that really caught me was part of the lyrics was chug-a-lug. And I can't remember the rest of it, but automatically, and this will show my age, I'm sorry. Automatically, I went to Roger Miller's Chug-a-Lug, Chug-a-Lug.
I can recognize that too.
Because it's about moonshine as well, because he's going behind the bar and drinking the moonshine he's found. So that was kind of a callback.
This
I don't know if that was.
To you by.
I don't know if that was intentional that he thought of that,
or
he just threw it in there. It just happened.
Texas.
But that's.
So we'll
subconscious memories.
True. So this drop will be a little bit longer than most. We'll see if we can get into the second one and let you see the difference with the wordplay. So here we go.
We skipped the intro, so this is good.
What?
We skipped the...
No, we did it.
Speaking before, so this is good. We can do this.
We can do this, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go with Bottle It Up.
Well, I always heard tale of a little bitty still in the backwoods, where old Hillbilly Bill made corn and sugar taste real good.
So me and my buds finally got the nerve up. Took a little chug-a-lug from a big brown jug. Sweet and so smooth, it took me to the moon. Said, Billy, brother, what we ought to do is bottle it up. Load it in the back of my truck. Yeah, I bet you we could take it into town and pass it all around. And folks would never get enough. I said, bottle it up. Ain't no lying, it's a mighty, mighty powerful stuff. Sell it by the keg, sell it by the case. Make a couple million bucks, bottle it up. There in 17, brother, I was green as the grass was. And I hadn't ever seen nothing near as pretty as she was. She was leading me around like a lovesick hound when she came slipping out of that pink prom gown. Lordy, I was reeling, dancing on the ceiling. I wish that I could take that feeling and bottle it up. Load it in the back of my truck. Man, I bet you we could take it into town and pass it all around. And folks would never get enough. I said, bottle it up. Ain't no lying, it's a mighty, mighty powerful stuff. Sell it by the keg, sell it by the case. Make a couple million bucks. Bottle it up.
Right, so you saw there, you know, it went from
beer to
moonshine beer to just, you know, puppy love and just, you know, how good a feeling is and you just want to sell it everywhere. And I think, to me, it's really cool. And, yeah, and that's how Give a Cowboy a Kiss is to me. Like, the rhythms, I don't know, it's so rhythmically set and fast speaking, the lyrics are, that it's really intriguing to me. And I love that type of deal because it makes your brain think so that you get the lyrics down, you know. It's like, oh.
Yeah, for sure.
But, and for me, this whole album was enjoyable. I didn't hate a song on this album at all.
Oh, you don't? There's a few that I'm kind of like...
Yeah?
One of the ones I'll point out those was... I know it's the title track.
Dancer Home?
Cowboy Like Me.
Oh, okay.
Which is the name of the album.
Yeah.
That is almost too slow. Even if you're dancing to it as a slow dance, it's almost too slow.
I like that song a lot because I like the overall message of this album, which you don't hear a lot. And it's basically, to me, it's the overall message that you get from most of the songs is how proud he is to be with his wife and how much he loves his wife and everything. And
you hear that in some of the songs,
And to me, that's just another one. It's just like, oh.
True.
Yeah, like the Lucky.
Lucky and Proud that are back-to-back. And it just...
Those two especially.
I really enjoy that because, I mean, you hear about love in country songs, but you don't necessarily hear about the marriage and the devotion side of love. You know, which I think is really cool that he put that in there. I think it's really meaningful.
Lucky is pretty much he's lucky to be alive because he's done all these foolish things. The bull riding
lucky,
is mentioned.
No,
in
he's
it.
Lucky to be married.
Yes, but I'm saying the first part he mentions the bull riding, lucky to be alive. His friends are saying he's lucky, but then he says goes on the next one is lucky to have his
exactly.
Wife.
So
I thought girlfriend, then, but it must be his wife.
Right.
And
third part had a lottery that
because it's right. Basically saying that
good friends,
rich friends.
Well, you guys whatever. While you guys are at partying.
Sorry. Smarts, riches, and strength. I'm lucky.
You're just lucky.
Well, the message of is it's while you guys are out partying and how you guys are having a great time getting rich and thing, I'd rather be lucky. And he relates to that back throughout the whole entire song because at the beginning it sets up he's so damn lucky to be married to this beautiful wife he has, and that's what ties back to everything. And it's like, while you guys are rich, I'd rather be lucky. I'd rather be married to her, you know. And I just think it's so nice that he is married in real life. He does have a wife that supports him, and I just think
it's daughter. I remember that because one of his songs, his daughter liked a lot. I can't remember which one. Okay. Was it Lucky?
I just think you don't see them paying tribute to their significant other that,
crying in your beer because they're getting divorces.
Right, and
stuff
I think
like
that's
that.
that's really cool that he would do that for her.
Or the silently not mentioning that her and the mistress got together and killed him.
I know some of the country songs that I've heard are
country songs.
Some of the country songs I usually listen to are maybe like they're always talking about breaking up and like, yeah, you know, they're going to go have a beer or get drunk or something like that. Right. So, yeah, this one was a little bit different, how you say how he's lucky to, you know, be with his wife and be lucky that...
The care he puts into it. It's such a fresh air. It's a breath of fresh air to me.
Exactly. So it's pretty good.
And the one Logan mentioned...
Two black Cadillacs.
Okay, I don't know where that came from.
Title.
I don't know.
I don't think he's talking about that song, though.
No, you talked about criminals or whatever, the outlaws.
You're talking about Never Go Home Again? Right. On the album.
I hadn't even mentioned it yet in earlier podcast. Well, I did.
No, I thought when that last bit you said something about outlaws and stuff, where Never Go Home Again is basically...
I love that song so much.
It's where you're talking about he's being proud, but it's being proud in a way that is detrimental to his self. Because he, like you said, he pretty much kills a person.
Right. It's
and he can't go home again because of that. He's on the run.
It's the people. Yeah. I think it's kind of a call back to the past, you know, in the rush and everything because of the companies coming and pushing people off the land. And because he talks about the bankers and the settlers and everything, pushing them off the land, and now they ended up 6 feet down, but he can never go home again. And I'm not proud of the fact that it's a jail song, you know, but it's cool that he could take something that could be seen as negative and just be like, I don't care.
He is.
That's why I said he's proud, but it's to his detriment.
Right, right.
And
he doesn't regret it, but he understands the consequences. Yeah,
he's lost his family because of it. So that's one of those where it is what it is.
I love
and
it.
The one song, the other song that I didn't really care a whole lot about was what I have in my notes is a Woe Is Me song.
Yeah.
And that's Holes. Mm. That one kind of felt like Luis was saying, the standard.
Boo-hoo me. I'm sad. And hurting.
Right.
I don't want to say it that way because on a recording, it's going to be hard to hear. So hurting is also a woe me song to me.
True.
Because he talks about, you know, how God's putting all these troubles on him. Mm-hmm. So even his pain is hurting, you know. It's like, oh, God, dang, my life sucks. type of song.
But the album in general, it's a good one. I enjoyed it.
I really do like it. I think for me, it's got the right amount of sad and upbeat. Like the first song is Dance Her Home, and I think it's a great starter because it's not his best song on the album, but it's a good place to start.
It's a good dancing song.
That's right.
Because it's part of the title.
Dance Her
Home.
Let
alone it's not a good dancing song. Let's qualify that since it's Red Dirt. It's a good two-stepping song.
Yep.
And there was, and I think the other reference, I think in a Give a Cowboy a Kiss, they talked about get you on the dance floor and do a twist.
That's why I love it. And then it turns into a whole new phrase and a whole new phrase. That's just cool. It connects. Everything connects. Yeah.
This album did have one extra track. Do you want to mention that one, April?
Right. There was a bonus track, number 13 on the album. And if you get the album, we have the physical copy. That's no.
Oh, okay. So I want to look at it. Well, okay.
I'm going to look at it for a sec. And then I'll give it to you. I got to read off.
All right.
On the deal, it just says bonus track. And then featuring Carl and Sheila Johnson in loving memory of Harold Hootie Lawrence.
And the Blowfish.
And it doesn't say on the album, but the song is In the Garden. And just background, Harold is from Cody's hometown, and he... From what I've understood, he ran the grocery store and helped out youths and passed away.
Okay.
And so he created it in memory. So I'm guessing it was just like a shout out to like a fatherly figure.
Okay.
Someone important in his life. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't particularly enjoy it. I'm sorry. The bonus track.
Yeah, it's kind of
slow and slow.
Sometimes just... Go ahead, Logan.
I wasn't actually... I wasn't actually doing it to get the attention to speak this time. I was just going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought because usually when you move your hand, you want to say something. So
I just thought it was too slow.
To the case, probably it's generally a good song, but for some reason the style. Pacing, quite possibly, seems a bit off to me. But
well, usually
changing from church to country.
Well, usually when they put about a bonus track is usually, you know, sometimes to help the other artists. I don't know, maybe. Or sometimes, you know, they're just trying to promote something. Or like you said, you know, it's a loving memory of somebody. And
right.
Yeah, it was all right, you know.
This is one I can see why it was a bonus track.
Because
of its slowness. And
it doesn't fit with everything else.
Yeah, it was different. It was different from the rest of the songs.
That's not necessarily true, because I have a Digimon disc that I think had three bonus tracks.
Right.
The first one is just a remix of the first
song. Track, his album's more Red Dirt, modern country. His bonus track is throwback country, and I don't mind throwback country at all, but this one was just way too slow and almost sounded like crooning. You know,
or howling.
You said it's throwback. See, what is it like that old man from the store? Listen, play that kind of music in the store.
I'm sure, and that's all right. It's just not, and it's just not my cup of tea. It's crooning.
But for some reason, the timing of it seems
right. I love throwback country, though. But not crooning throwback country.
Yeah,
in April. And Logan and I were fortunate enough, like we mentioned before, we saw the concert where it opened for Aaron Watson.
Sadly, the other one, Mom, isn't here. So
true. Michelle's not here. She was with us as well as part of the family unit. But we got to see Aaron briefly, and we took the CD over there, and he signed it. And Cody Johnson, we got to see him briefly as well, and he signed April's album.
Right.
And hopefully, if in the future, we hope, maybe see if we can get something going with one of those. Cody seemed to be pretty interested in possibly doing an interview. We're trying to work with Aaron right now, but I don't know if that's going to go through. With the holiday season, might be a little bit later, but that's all right. We'll keep trying, and if they decide to come on, we'll be glad to have them. If not, well, it didn't happen, folks. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Wonder how long after the holiday season is over that this is going to happen.
True.
Right. I'm going to jump.
Unless it actually manages the last year before we get to this.
I'm going to jump back to the album real quick, just randomly.
Okay.
Because whenever I have random tics that I don't like about something, I have to express them. And for my tic on this album was on the song Me and My Kind. I picked up on it straight away. It's probably nothing major that nobody else would care about, but I sure care. So I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
Me and My Kind is basically about how he's talking to his buddies at the bar, and his ex-girlfriend walks in, and you know they're like, "Oh dang, you know she's hot. Can I go talk to her?" And he's like, "You can, but ever since I dated her, she's been over cowboys in general, you know."
Right.
And to me, that's stupid. The song's all right, but
the meaning, like why
the message that
there is the something or other. I have no clue what the correct word is. That a bad enough relationship can turn the people off of ginger completely.
Right, so. But see, I just think that's a really big change.
Man, that's
the only instance I've heard the thing like me and the kind.
No,
before.
There,
I was treated really.
That's
bad.
A common. It's a common occurrence I've seen where you get burned once. In Aaron Watson's CD, he's also got one speaking against it. You know, but. That if you're dating someone and the relationship ends bad or just ends in general, all of a sudden, to the girl, all men are bad, or to the boy, all girls are bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's ridiculous. Cowboys are bad.
I get from what you're saying, too.
They're not. Yeah. This is just life.
Girlfriend, you don't want to be with that cowboy group no more.
She's trying to say, like, any cowboy. Like,
right.
She's
and I think this is just more gone to life in general.
I see
but
where you're going, because, like, the way you're saying is, like.
I can actually see the opposite. Kind of see what you're coming from, but.
No one, no two guys are the same.
Yeah,
exactly. That's and all I've got
to
say. Yeah.
But cultural groups, like draws to like, cultural groups draw to like. Somewhat.
To a degree, but that's blurring more and more.
It is because, generation. I mean, here in so our town.
If the person doesn't like how it turned out with their cowboy, at least some or most and or none at all, depending on which type.
Right, but I think it's silly not to give somebody a chance because they're wearing a cowboy hat.
True. Or that's a geek.
What?
There's a bunch of cartoon characters on his wall.
I don't know, because there's, I don't know. What you, it's just, there can be multiple different people that like the same thing that are cowboys now.
True. That is true.
But yeah, there's my little.
Yeah, I think that's kind of stupid too.
Life suggestion, my little golden nugget of knowledge.
Just have the only one she's been in, he with a cowboy that ended horribly and did not go well in the first place, and there's a recipe for that happening at least somewhat.
Yeah, but it's still
she might still consider him, but it won't be anywhere near favorable at first, because the only experience she'll have with the cowboys is bad for dating. There you go.
Oh, we got the dating gurus here.
Heck, I could go
conditioning.
Yeah, and I'm here
not sure clicking. If that was operant or classical. I can't remember which one's which, but conditioning. Yeah.
True. But with this, with the albums, they do have physical albums. The website is thecodyjohnsonband.com. All one word.
Remember the V and the band.
Yes, very important, or you won't get there. And they do have physical albums that you can purchase to put into the libraries. This is one, if you're in a rural area, definitely and would probably want to consider to put within your music collection in a library, I would think.
Right. If you have a music collection in the library.
I would, because obviously smaller towns are going to dig it.
True.
And bigger towns, there's enough people. They're going to
have
some. So,
have somebody.
And for a personal collection, if you like country music, this is one that kind of, it's not as old school as Aaron Watson was.
No.
It's kind of in between old and new, kind of a transition type area.
It's not a need album, but for me, it definitely be a want album just because it's a good album, you know?
Right. But I was talking about the styles. It's not the throwback to the 80s or 90s, but it's not.
It's not like pop. It's not rock
pop.
Or anything. Yeah,
I call
country
it country
rock.
Pop or rock. It's kind of in between. So that's
like early 2000s, maybe.
Maybe so, 2000s. Right in there. But this is when I'd say, yeah, pick up, and I think
definitely.
April enjoyed it.
Yes, I did.
And I think that's going to do it for this go around, everybody. We've been having fun here. I hope everybody's been having fun out there. Take our dating advice or not, it's up to you. So anyway, we will see everybody on the flip side. Have a good one, everybody.
And you will be listening to Baby's Blue. We're going to slow it down.
And this is the one where I said really sounded like George Strait. So
right.
Baby's Blue. Enjoy. Bye, everybody.
See
Bye.
Ya.
Bye.
Tick-tocking on by, had to talk myself out of up and quitting outright. But I heard that we were working late. I called my baby on my next break. She was a hot mess, she'd had a bad day. She took a deep breath, next thing she had to say was, honey, I want you. Yeah, she needs me by her side. So blue, I can hear the tears in her eyes. Lord knows I need this job. There's bills to pay, but I'll walk away if I have to. Baby's blue. Off work, crank up my pickup, drive like a madman.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.